Jim Schultz, and this is From Theory to Practice. Welcome to the show today. Welcome to the broadcast. Welcome to the Friday edition of what it is that we are trying to do. Welcome to the World War III on edition, and then World War III off edition, and then World War III back on edition of what it is that we are trying to do. So welcome to the show. It is a Friday. It is April 19th. I appreciate you guys so much that you are here live watching the program. Even if you're watching in the archives, I appreciate you a little bit less. But I appreciate you too, nevertheless. So welcome to the show. If you're watching over on the Tasty Live Network, then I would actually bounce over to YouTube. If you bounce on over YouTube, you can join the discussion. You can join the conversation. You control me in real time. You control my Netflix earnings trade in real time and communicate with your brethren that also took the trade so you can all commiserate together. So let's go ahead. Let's pop in here. Let's have a look and see what's going on. I mean, is World War III back on? Is it still on? Is it back off? Man, who knows anymore? So if we look at the overall market, what a night in the market, man. That was crazy last night. I mean, they were just dropping levels. Like, they were just dropping levels. And I'm like, wow, what is going on in the world? So obviously, where did I go for legitimate news? Went to Twitter, and I was quickly brought up to speed with what was going on in the world. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was a pretty crazy night. And then overnight, apparently everything was kind of made right in the world. And now I don't know what to believe anymore. So we have the E-mini S&Ps down 32. We have the risk-free instrument, also known as the NASDAQ Futures Index, also known as a very high-risk instrument, down 300 on the day. So not really doing what risk-free instruments are supposed to do. You got the boomers, though, again, saving the world, saving not only their generation, but all the generations that followed their generation, up 200. And then you've got the Russell 2000 Futures Index down about 3. So about unced on the day. But man, what a whippy day. What a whippy day in the market. I mean, you know, this morning, all was right in the world again. Futures were kind of stable, and they had essentially erased all the losses from overnight. But now they're kind of starting to make their way down. I mean, NASDAQ, I think, this is around the low point from last night, I think. It may not be quite as low, but this is pretty significant, right? So we go in here. We have a lot to do today, Jimmy. We have to adjust our MNQ strangle. We've got a Nike winner on our hands, believe it or not. We obviously have to commiserate our Netflix position because, man, it's unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable how bad we are at earnings. Like, you have to try to be this bad. Like, it's almost like if you're a professional baseball hitter, to some degree, to hit under 100, like, you kind of have to try to do that. Like, if you're a pro, if you're just a regular schmuck, like, you're going to hit 000, and that's just the way it is. But these pros, I mean, these guys are great. Like, these guys are the best of the best of the best. You kind of have to try. They're not just kind of what we wake up with a 180 average or something like that. But man, we are so consistent with the losers on earnings. It's pretty amazing. But if we look at the NASDAQ here really quick, let's go into the chart of the NASDAQ and check this out, guys. So we've been doing some probability cone analysis in preparation for the skinny and options abstract application. So don't miss Monday morning show with Tom and Tony. We are going to talk about random shocks. We're going to talk about these probability cones, and we're going to talk about some really interesting ways that you can trade these probability cones. So let me go ahead and let me clear that away though for now. Let's see here. How do I do this? Let me just clear it. Yeah, we'll get kind of a clean slate. There we go. So, all right. So if we look at the NASDAQ, this is a daily chart. So, I mean, this is it, man. This includes all of the overnight action from last night, too. I mean, look at that, man. That is nasty. What are those, three black crows right there? I mean, look at this thing, man. This thing is crazy. The low last night was 181, and we're currently at 261. We were just at 241 a couple seconds ago. And so we're not that far off the lows. And if I'm not mistaken, the geopolitical situation has essentially been stabilized. I mean, stabilized is, of course, a relative term. I don't know that it's ever, you know, truly stable in that region of the world. But I don't think it's as dicey as it was last night. But correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong and I'm just spouting off just, you know, nonsense and misinformation to you all here on the program, let me know in the chat box and help us all out. So NASDAQ down a ton, ES down not quite a ton. As you can see, the low last night was significantly lower than where we are now. Last night we got down to 49.63 at one point. So we are now sitting comfortably up at 50.20. And then, of course, the Dow Jones Futures Index was way lower last night. We were down to a low of 37,460, and we are now at 38,235. So almost 1,000 points higher on the Dow than we were last night, which was which was pretty crazy. And that actually was the futures that I was watching last night. And I'm like, who am I? Like, why am I watching with so many other available options, like readily here for me to utilize and analyze? Why am I watching the Dow futures? But honestly, they were more exciting than any of the other futures. I mean, the NASDAQ was pretty exciting. The Russell was kind of slow. ES was even a little bit slow. But man, those boomers last night, I don't know if they had too much coffee or what it was, but man, they were whipping that thing around like nobody's business. And so, man, it was fun to watch last night. And I'm glad that things are obviously relatively stable in the world. But all right, we have some business to get down to. Let's do that now. And then get your questions in the chat box. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can, guys. I know I didn't do a good job yesterday. And so I'm going to try to get through what I want to get through a little early today. Get to y'all's questions because you guys are great. You guys are amazing. And I just appreciate you guys so much for being here. So let's go ahead and all right. So the first thing I want to do, let's talk about Netflix. You know, I don't really want to talk about Netflix, but we have to talk about Netflix. And, you know, there is actually a silver lining to this dark cloud. There is actually a gimme that we can find inside of this gotcha. Yes, I'm terrible at earnings. Yes, you should never listen to me for earnings, ever. I've tried to tell you guys this before, and I'm going to remind you and reiterate, you should do the closest thing to the exact opposite of whatever I say. Don't let my conviction fool you. Don't let my confidence lead you astray. Just do the opposite, and you will retire at least 18 to 24 months earlier than you thought you would do otherwise. So, you know, with Apple next week and Meta next week and, you know, Google next week and all these other guys, man, just do the opposite, and you'll be perfectly fine. Although I do feel a hot streak coming on. But nevertheless, if you look at Netflix here, you've got Netflix down 50, right? Or down almost 60, I guess. Yeah, 50 to 60, whatever. And so you've got Netflix down 50. Here's what's crazy, right? And it opened a little bit higher than where it is right now. In fact, it wasn't even down that much, I think, on the opening bell. This really does highlight the power, though, of the expected move butterfly, because obviously we missed the mark. Obviously, we got the direction wrong. But if you posit that earnings are a 50-50 proposition, which I think is reasonably, you know, close to what they actually are, then it's like, man, if you do an expected move butterfly on the cheap, which we did this for like $3, and it's like, all right, it's 1% of the account, it's gone. Again, we successfully lit that stack of cash on fire, and then we move on, right? But if you are able to get the direction move right, it looks like you have a decent chance of getting somewhere in that net to where you can get a nice little payoff that might be, you know, 2x of what you paid or 3x of what you paid or whatever, especially on the Thursday, you know, expected move butterflies walking right into Friday. And so I think what we might do, so next week, here's what I want to do, because right now I don't want to go back in and figure it out because it'll be too hard to figure out and I don't even know that we'll be able to figure it out. Next week, when we do some more earnings trades, I'm going to give you all my pick, right? I'm going to give you all my genuine pick. I'm not going to George Costanza you. Like, I'm going to tell you genuinely how I feel and genuinely what Amelia May has done for us and structured for us so you guys can do the opposite and then make a whole lot of money. But when we do it, though, I want to actually jot down, like, all right, here's the expected move that we're going to play. Here's the butterfly that we're going to do. What does the other butterfly look like? Like, if I do essentially the opposite, because I'm just kind of curious to see, you know, not only, you know, my track record and then the, you know, the bizarro world, Dr. Jim track record, which I think would be about 80 to 90% win rate at this point. I want to see the following day, especially on Thursday, like next Thursday is going to be interesting. And then going into Friday, I want to see the following day, or even if we do them on Monday or Tuesday, whatever, what is the payoff after the earnings call for not only our strategy, but if we miss the mark, which we most likely will, what is the payoff for the other strategy? And I think we're going to see that these things can be, they can be a nice addition. Now, are they going to replace, you know, the bread and butter, tasty, classic strategies of short strangles and short puts and put ratio spreads and the opposite of whatever Tom's doing? Like, no, like you can't replace those things. Those are timeless classics. Those are evergreen, right? And so we're going to keep those things in place, but I think it's an interesting little addition into the mix. So anyway, that's my Netflix commentary. It's not really going to help you too much, but nevertheless, it's already out there. So Netflix, those are all going to expire out of the money. We don't have to do anything to them right now. So, all right, what I want to do now, though, let's go into MNQ. So a couple of things. So number one, this is our futures options, you know, one of our futures options positions, and we need to adjust this. So this is going to be good because this is going to be another example of adjusting a futures options position. We just did MCL, I believe it was just yesterday. And so now we have a strangle that's been tested on the downside. So we're going to do the same thing that we would do with an equity option, Apple, Meta, Netflix, SPY, whatever, where you're rolling the intestine side down, maybe rolling out, things like that. Okay. But here is what's interesting. This is an interesting little teachable moment that surprised me earlier, and I actually didn't even see it coming. When I was looking at this strategy, because again, remember, when we roll the untested side on a strangle because one side has been tested, which is what we have here, we have a 17,400 strike on the put side, and you've got MNQ or NQ at 17,250. So we have now successfully pierced through our put strike by a fairly significant margin. So it's like, all right, we need to roll that call down. Well, how far do you roll the call down? Well, I mean, you can kind of fly by the seat of your pants if you want to, but to have some type of reference point, usually trying to reduce the directional bias that we currently have on the position by 25 to 50%. Reduce it by only 25% if you want to be, if you want to be closer to the directional bias that you currently have. Like right now, I'm pretty bullish on NASDAQ because I need the stock to rally back up inside of my short strike. So I'm bullish on the NASDAQ index. Well, if I want to maintain most of that bullishness, then I don't adjust down as aggressively and I reduce my directional bias by maybe only 25%. Maybe instead, though, I want to be more aggressive with picking up more extrinsic value, not being as directional. I'm still going to be bullish to some degree, but then I would roll down the call such that my directional bias can be reduced by maybe 50%. So that's kind of how you decide between the two. Okay. When I was looking at this, though, I was like, all right, what I typically do is I have this, I have this ETF delta column, which you see right here. That's what I use for me to gauge what my delta currently is on the position. And then that tells me how far I have to trim when I roll the call down. So I look at this first and then I'll go to the option chain and then kind of, do my work from there. So I was looking at this earlier and I'm like, all right, this makes sense, right? Here we go. We're long 44 delta. So we've got to trim by, 10 to 20 delta. All right, easy stuff. No problem. But then I stopped and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense at all. How can I only be long 44 delta, 44 to 40? It's 44.7 right now. How can I only be long 44 delta when my put at 17,400 is in the money and my call at 19,400 has no delta? You guys see what I'm saying? I looked at this number and I was like, this is a real head scratcher. I'm like, how can I only be long 45 delta net if my put is in the money and my call has no delta? Now, it'd be fine. I could be long 45 delta if my put was in the money, but my call still had a couple of delta. Like, that would make sense. Like, maybe the put delta is like 55 and the call delta is like 10. It's like, okay, then my net result would be positive 45 delta. That makes sense. But when I looked at the number and I looked a little bit more closely at the specific deltas, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense that the call delta having completely dried up, which is fine. I mean, the market has obviously come down quite a bit. So I expect the call delta to essentially be nothing. But the put delta really, really had me kind of scratching my head. And I was like, all right, I don't think this number is tracking to what I want it to track to and what it normally tracks to. So I hope you guys are kind of picking up the issue that I have here, because I know that at the money strikes have a delta of what? Approximately 50. Sometimes they're exactly 50. Sometimes they're like 51 or 53 or 47, whatever. Okay, but 44? That's a little bit low. Like, I was like, all right, is this really telling me what it should be telling me? Because if this is going to miss, I would expect this to miss above 50 because A, it's in the money by 150 points. And B, there really is no B because A was so strong. It's like, man, this is in the money by 150 points. It can't have a delta of less than 50. That doesn't make any sense. That essentially violates every rule that's ever been written about option moneyness. And so I said, all right, we need to investigate this a little bit more and kind of see what's going on. So what I did was, let's delete all these drawings. Let's actually go into the trade page for MNQ. Let's take a closer look at these options. And here's what you're going to see. So, you can see that, you can see my strategy is on the screen. Now the call, well, let me actually just scroll down to the call. So you see my call, which is way, way, way out to pasture. Right, it's like, all right, here's my 19,400. Makes sense. It's not worth anything. There's only a couple bucks left. The delta is about one or basically zero. All right, that all checks out. That all makes sense. That's exactly what I would expect and exactly essentially what we saw on the trade page. All right, let me delete those circles though. Let's go where my put is and where the action is. So take a look at all this. This is so interesting. So 17,250, right? This is where the index is right now. So if you look at the 17,250, look at the deltas on both sides of the market. Everything checks out. That's a 51 delta on the call side. That's a 49 delta on the put side. That's what I would expect. Again, it's around 50 plus or minus a couple delta either way. Okay, that makes sense. Now I just go down a little bit on the screen. I hope you guys are following me. I'm trying to move through this kind of slowly and explain myself at every step along the way. The 17,400 put strike, which is what I have, you can see it has a price of, you know, a million or whatever. I mean, it's 450 or whatever. It makes sense. It's in the money by so much. But look at the delta on this. It's 55. That makes sense to me. I looked at that number and I'm like, all right, that's what I would expect. This is in the money by 150 points on a $17,000 index. I was expecting the delta to be 53, 55, 57, something like that, right? And here I see it's 55. Makes perfect sense. So I'm like, all right, what am I missing with what we have on the trade page? So let's go back to the trade page, and here is where the plot thickens a bit more. So the reason why I typically use this column in place of what's on the option chain is because it's easy, it's already on there, and it actually works for equity options. So check this out. So if I delete that circle, let's go into Nike really quick, because I think I'm going to take this Nike trade off. Maybe I'll keep it on for another day or two. Either way, it doesn't matter. I want to get through this and I want to get to y'all's questions. So look at Nike. So if I look at Nike, I have 28 days to go in the May cycle. Look at my two options. I have a 90 call that has a delta of 77 and some change. I have a 95 call that has a delta of 52, almost 53. Now let's delete that. So we had 70, 77 and 52, 53, right? Let's delete that. Go to the trade page. Go to May in Nike and take a look at this. 90 call, 77 delta. That's exactly what we just saw. 95 call, 53 delta. That's exactly what we just saw. So I'm like, whoa, man, like what's going on? Like this is what I expected to see with MNQ. And then the light bulb went off. And then I figured it out. You have to be aware that when you're dealing with futures options, right, with like delta conversions, notional values and all these different things. Again, they're not even quoted in like dollars and cents. A lot of the time they're quoted in points. It's like you are dealing with a different animal. And so because of that, when you look at like an ETF delta metric, that's going to track right to the option chain to show you what the deltas are on those strikes for equity options. It's not going to work for futures options. You have to go into the actual option chain like I did to see what the actual deltas are at the different strikes. Now, sadly, we don't have like a futures options equivalent that we can put in the drop-down menu. Not yet, at least. I'm sure the devs are working on that amongst, you know, the million other things that they're working on. But I did want to point this out just because this can be something that can really, really, really be a head scratcher. And you're like, hey, do I not understand what's going on? Like, what am I missing? You know, what do I not understand about in the moneyness, about out of the moneyness? You know, I've seen all of Dr. Jim's videos on moneyness since he's the only one on the Tasty Network talking about moneyness. And so I was like, what do I not understand? It's like, well, if you just stop and think, okay, this doesn't make any sense. Look at it from different angles. Whenever this happens with any concept in the world of options, just stop and just pause and say, all right, I'm missing something. What else can I look at that's related to this that might give me a, you know, fresh perspective on this metric specifically, or give me another piece to the puzzle that maybe I can add to my analysis to give me the answers I'm looking for. So hopefully this makes a little bit of sense to you guys, kind of the issue that I was having. So now let's go back to MNQ though. I do want to make this, man, we're like halfway through the show, man, it goes so fast. I'm already on 1.5X. Like y'all on YouTube put me on 2X, like you're putting me up to 3X because I'm already at 1.5X. Like I'm trying to move through this as quickly as I can. But sometimes there's just too many things to cover and I don't want to be incomplete because nothing to me is more frustrating than trying to learn something from somebody online on a video, podcast, whatever, and they move too quickly. They move too quickly. They skip steps. They just assume that I know things that I do not know. It's like, man, why would you assume that I know to put the sod green side up? You need to explain that to me. Like, I don't know that. To me, it's 50-50. Like maybe the grass grows better when it's facing down. I don't know. So you have to explain these things to me. So anyway, let me go in here. Let's roll out. So we know that if I go to MNQ, I go to 28 days, I'm 54, 55 delta on the put side. So my call, again, has essentially zero delta. So I want to, I don't want to be super aggressive with this, I don't want to go 50% trimmage. Maybe we trim it by 25% or so. So maybe I'll go to, so that means I'm looking for about 14 or 15 delta. Maybe I go all the way up to this 18-2 strike. This looks pretty good. So I'm going to roll my call from where it is now to maybe this 18-2 strike. That'll pick up another, looks like another 68 to 70 points of MNQ premium, which will help. That will help help a little bit to kind of soften the blow and neutralize the directional bias. I don't really want to get caught, you know, on this upcoming face ripper that's going to happen. It's any day now. Any day between, you know, Monday and like, you know, 3 to 36 months from now, like we are going to get our faces absolutely ripped off by some kind of crazy rally. So I'd like to leave at least a little bit of room for the upcoming face ripper. So let me go ahead and let's go to this 18-2. Just make this real quick adjustment in the craptacular markets that are MNQ options. Am I going to get filled on the first go? No. I thought for a second there I might, but definitely not. So 68 and a quarter is no takers. Let's do 67. 75, I think we'll get a taker. Wow, no takers. It's unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen worse markets than this. I mean, Chipotle has unbelievable markets compared to this. And, you know, if you know, you know. Like, Chipotle markets, they're pretty craptacular in their own right. And so 67 and a quarter, this is bad, man. I kind of just want to not do any of this because it's just so bad. All right, let's try 66.50. Oh man, they're so frustrating. So by the way, you know, this is another teachable moment, kind of inside of the teachable moments at this point. We're kind of, you know, doing an inception show here today. If you yourself have a hard time getting filled on, you know, any trade or MNQ options or whatever, I want you guys to see you are not alone. Like, we don't have like special connections to like, you know, high frequency traders are like waiting to like fill my order and waiting to fill like Bat's orders and stuff like that. Although I can't speak for Bat, he probably does have some special connections to some high frequency guys and gals out there, but not your lonely little peasants like Dr. Jim. Nah, man, I'm out there with the rest of y'all trying to get some fills. So 65.75. This is bad. I don't know. Maybe it's not worth the buying power. Well, MNQ keeps falling, so that's not helping at all. We need a little rally here in MNQ, I think. That would really help the cause. Let me try. Man, I don't even know. Let's try 64. We've given up like 5 points in MNQ. And we're still not getting filled. All right, hold on a second. Let me cancel this whole order. I got to do something different. So let me go ahead. I got to get to y'all's questions, man. We got to do it. So let me go ahead. Let me buy back. This is so frustrating. Let me buy back the 19.4. Let me try like an 18.3. Or actually, 18.1. Let's try something different completely. So this will give me a little bit more credit. It'll trim the directional bias by more. So I'm less bullish than I would have been if I was at the 18,200 strike. But maybe we'll get filled. 83.75, no takers. Can't believe this. I just don't understand. I mean, I'm on the bid price now, basically, and they're not going to take it. I don't understand this. I don't understand this at all. All right, so let's try something else. This is going to be the rest of the show. I'm sorry. Like, I absolutely wanted to get to y'all's questions, but MNQ had other plans. So let me clear this away. We're going to do this like it's 1993 again, like we talked about the other day on the show. I'm going to do these one step at a time. So I'm just going to buy back my little 19,400. And let me see if I pay, you know, 280 for it. Maybe I do this. I already have a closing order. Oh my gosh. Look at this. They're getting me. Yeah. Let me cancel that order. This is a train wreck. Sorry about this, guys, but sometimes it's fun to watch a train wreck live though. You don't get to see it every day. So let's see here. 285. Buy back the 19.4 for 285. Nope. All right. Fair enough. Buy back the 19.4 for 305. I mean, the offer is 310. So what are we doing here? Nope. Wow. This is maybe it isn't worth the buying power. Maybe it, like, it's just a wash in the end. Ah, we got filled for 305. I can't believe it. All right. So now I'm going to go in at the 18.1 and let me just, yeah, that market's pretty wide. It's 10 points wide. Let's see if we can get filled for like, I don't know, 84. I'll do like 85 even. I might get filled. Probably won't, but filled for 85. So there you go. So you just got to do it in pieces, I guess. I don't know. So we end up getting about $82 on the roll. So it's not too bad. I'll take it. Sorry. So that's MNQ. And that's the main thing I wanted to do today. So, all right. So let's get to y'all's questions, man. Let's do it. I see. Wow. I got lots of questions. I got lots of comments in here. I see all you guys in the house. I appreciate you guys so much. Let's do it. All right. So where are we at? There we are. Brandon H. When do you like to adjust your strangles, Dr. Jim? Hey, Brandon H. Thank you for being here, my friend. Usually when the strike gets tested. I wait until the strike gets tested, and then I adjust, just like we did with M&Q just a few minutes ago. So some traders like to adjust more aggressively than that. They like to adjust when the delta gets to a certain level. So the strike won't even be tested, but you know, you start a strangle out with zero delta, usually, plus or minus a couple. But if you get to like plus or minus, let's say 20 or 25, then it's like, okay, you're getting stretched on one side. Some traders like to go in and adjust more aggressively than that. Personally, I'm not sure in the end that doing that allows you to come out any better than if you had done nothing. So to me, it's like, all right, I'm saving on commissions. I'm saving on, you know, kind of the need to babysit the positions all the time, all day long, you know, every minute of every day and every hour of every week and every day of every quarter, something like that. And so it fits a little bit better with my personal approach to the markets. Now, I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying it's mine. And so you can kind of take that and, you know, do what you want with it. NASDAQ down 330 now. Russell down a boomer, still green. Oh, man, just leave it to the boomers, man. So Jesse Seymour is in the house. What's going on there, Jesse? I appreciate you, my friend. Good afternoon. I've been trying to make it here all week, and I'm finally able to be here, man. Thank you, Jesse. If you're still here as I'm saying this, then I really appreciate you because I know that you dropped that in there like at the very beginning of the show. So thank you, Jesse. I know you've been following the show for a very long time, and I see your tweets, and you've got some exciting things happening, man. Like you're doing it, you're moving forward, you're getting in the arena, and some special things happen when you're in the arena. Like, again, I mean, there's only so much I can say. There's only so much that Tony can say. There's only so much that, you know, Chris Vecchio can say. And then at a certain point, you just got to be in the arena and you've got to be living it. You've got to be learning it for yourself. And so YouTube videos and podcasts and books, if people still read books, I mean, they can only get you so far. And then once you're in the arena, I mean, the learning, man, it happens at a really, really fast pace. And so thank you for being here, my friend. And of course, anything I can do to help, just let me know. Anka's in the house. What's going on there, Anka? On a day or a week when everything goes against you, what do you do to make some money, man? I don't even know. I really don't know. You know, the only thing that I will say is this, and this is not going to directly answer your question, unfortunately, but I do think it's going to be helpful. I think on days like, you know, like right now, if you've been long this market the last week, I mean, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain that you've had to absorb. We have the mechanics in place. We have the different things that you can do for adjustments and how to view, like, you know, like we just talked about with M&Q and the strangle and things like that. Still, all that being said, y'all know what I'm about to say right now. Never forget that doing nothing is a strategy. And the reason why I bring that up so much is not only because of, you know, experiences that you all have shared with me over the years, but my own anecdotal experience, my own anecdata that I've collected on myself, and I've just learned. And again, take it for what it's worth. It's N equals one. I understand all that, but is there a more important than N? Is there a more important N than N equals one? Like, I think not. But nevertheless, doing nothing is a really powerful strategy. And so on days or weeks or times in the market when nothing seems to be working, man, as long as your position size is in check, as long as your deltas and your thetas are okay and you don't have to do anything like make wholesale changes to what you're trying to accomplish, man, just taking a breather and saying, all right, I don't have to do anything right now. I can just let these things work. Let me give the marketplace cyclicality a chance to just even this out for me. I've just seen it happen so much with other people. I've experienced it happening for myself personally that I just think it's a really, really powerful thing, doing nothing and letting the marketplace cyclicality work for you. Again, within the context of what we do as active traders, I mean, M&Q rolling the call side down right now, I think it's reasonable. I think it's prudent to go ahead and make that adjustment. But there are many, many times when you kind of have a toss up, you're kind of in that gray area where you're like, I don't know if I should adjust or not. I don't know. I would give a look. We'll give a look to doing nothing. And so just something to think about there, Anka. So Brandon H, delta wise, when do you adjust your strangles? Brandon, yes. So for me, it's when they get tested. So that usually means one side is going to have you're probably going to be close to about a 40, 45 delta on the overall position. You know, one side gets to like a 50 delta, the other side gets to like 5 or 10, usually, I would say generally. So again, a lot of other traders are more aggressive than that. I'm just not. And so David Gallimore says, Dr. Jim, I have minus 509 beta weighted delta, okay, and 533 theta on a $300,000 portfolio. Okay, that's really helpful. Because it gives me a lot of context. portfolio margin, my negative delta are SPY, ES in both Zebra and synthetic shorts. Am I too bearish? It's a great question, and the answer is no. The answer is no, you are not. Could you be less bearish? Potentially. Because again, I mean, the research that the team has done, they've shown that a really good level, a really good reference point for a delta to theta ratio is 0.5. So looking at your ratio, this is perfect. Like seeing the delta, seeing the theta relative to the account size is extremely helpful. And so for you, you're a little bit over 0.5. You're at about 0.8 or 0.9, but you're not over 1-to-1. And so personally, I mean, don't tell Tom I said this, but I actually think, you know, going outside the bounds of 1.1 is okay. I actually think going outside the bounds of, you know, 1.5 is okay. If you want to be a bit more directional and take a shot on one side of the market. Now, if you don't want to do that and you kind of want to be, all right, I want to keep this super buttoned up. Like, I'm not going to listen to Dr. Jim. I'm not going to listen to this dude with t-shirts and backward hats. Like, I understand that, right? Kind of got a Brock Brody thing going on, though. Not today, of course. But yeah, I think 0.5 is a great level to be at. Now, you're really close to that level. You're not at like 2 or 3 in terms of, you know, delta to theta ratio. Do you have to make any changes right now? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because what's going to happen is, you know, if you are, you know, you have zebras and synthetic shorts. So probably, I mean, poor man's covered calls and things like that, or that could come in a couple different forms. Most likely, if we do get a rally, you're going to become less short. So if we do get a rally, you're going to become a little bit more bullish on your overall delta. So the deltas, again, they may kind of iron themselves out. I'd have to see specifically what strategies you have. I mean, you have zebras, but the synthetic shorts and the strikes and things like that to really know how the delta change might happen as the market moves. But I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to make wholesale changes. I think you're right in that range. I think 0.5 to 1 to 1 to 1 in terms of a good range to live in is pretty good. And if you're less than 0.5, then you're just, you know, you're really less and less and less directional, just playing theta, extrinsic value, things like that. So no, I don't think you're too bearish. But if you ask, you know, somebody else, they might say that you are. And so, you know, take that for what it's worth. And so let's see, Brandon H, stoked that you're here, Jesse. There you go. Jesse says, thank you. And I say, thank you too. I love the connections, man. Y'all, man, you guys are just, you have an unbelievable opportunity to connect with each other on the stream. You guys are all here. There's 500 people here. I mean, there's so many people that are here right now that are trying to do the exact same thing that you're doing. So definitely, man, make friendships, communicate with each other. I think that's amazing. So let's see. Paul Heyman, from an audio only viewer, I believe you mean an audio only listener. Are you still long position limits of 6,000 gold futures contracts in your private trading account? Of course I am, Paul, given all of the insider information that you yourself have given me over the months and over the years. I am long a lot of gold. I mean, Costco gold. But apparently they tell me that's real gold. And so, you know, the two or three tiny little bars that we have in the kitchen there, they should be worth a little something. So Andrew Jones, the power of liquidity is incredible. It certainly is, my friend. It absolutely is. And so we learned the dark side of that just a few minutes ago with MNQ and the options and their craptacular markets. So Harsha says, hello, Dr. Jim. I want to thank you for all that you do. Man, I appreciate you, Harsha. I appreciate you so much. Your crash course has helped me get a head start in the world of options. Man, thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Thank you so much for investing in the crash courses. I really appreciate that. I have a brand new crash course coming out. It's probably going to be released, I'd say, in the next 4 to 6 weeks. It's going to be on option returns. And so I'm very excited. I think it came together reasonably well. All the footage has been recorded now. So now we're doing all of the other stuff, which is a lot of work that the team has to do. And there's still a good bit of stuff I have to do myself. And so I'm excited for that to be released into the wild. And I'll be curious to see what you guys think about it. So Lano's digging the boomers. Lano himself or herself might be a boomer. And so you just never know, man. They're lurking around every corner. Brandon H, back to positive on the S&P. Apparently not, Brandon. Now we're down 42. NASDAQ down 350. Ooh, man, it's nasty out there. So Omid, at this point, I have PTSD trading Netflix on earnings. I don't blame you, Omid. I don't blame you at all, especially if you're doubling up on that by listening to me. And so that's just not a good, this is not a good combination, but I'm right there with you. Brandon says the School of Tasty is awesome. There you go. Brandon H says not trading earnings can always be a position. Yes, you should exercise the do nothing strategy for earnings season. I should be taking my own advice for this. And maybe we will. Maybe we'll take a couple earnings days off next week with Apple and all the other things that are coming on down the chutes. And so Paul also says, from an audio only viewer. Again, when are you traveling to Chicago to sign the wall? Yes, in May. I'll be there in late May. So I believe I'm going to the studio on Memorial Day. So, Tom making us travel on holidays, man. Like, he doesn't care. No, he's like, all right, he's like, you can pick. You can either come on Saturday, weekend day, Sunday, weekend day, or Monday, holiday. He's like, I'll let you pick. I'm like, oh, man, thank you. That's very generous of you and very thoughtful of you. And so I chose Monday night. And so I'm going to Chicago on Monday night, and then I'll be in the studio on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'll be headed back to St. Petersburg, Florida here on Thursday. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see the new digs. And kind of get a look around at the wall and all that other stuff. So Andrew Jones, why isn't there onomatopoeia? Man, I should know what that is, but I haven't seen that word in a very long time, and I am absolutely butchering him. Like spoos for NASDAQ when that index has all the volatility. Seems like if it has the most action, it would have a neat moniker. Onomatopoeia. I don't think that's right. That doesn't feel right at all. And it sounds even worse. Onomatopoeia. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's whatever it needs to be at this point. So first of all, since I don't know what that is, and I should know what that is, just given my, travels in the world and all those things, I can't answer your question, Andrew, but I hope you enjoyed the last minute or so of those attempts at whatever that word is, but I'm going to keep moving on. So PharmD Eric, Dr. Jim has taught me that butterflies are not worth the risk. Rinse and repeat. You know what, man? It's fair. It's absolutely fair. But again, I think that, are they net positive? If they are, probably not by a lot, right? But if you want to play earnings, they seem like a good move to me to play earnings, right? I kind of like them better than something like undefined risk, like, selling triangles, all those kinds of things. Now, let me walk back what I just said. When it comes to like the S&P 100 stocks, like big, big, big stocks, like even Netflix today, if you sold like a one standard deviation strangle last night, you're probably okay today. You're probably not up money, but you're not getting like completely crushed, right? You get really crushed on, I think, the lower float, lower cap stocks that double on earnings, or, your Viking Therapeutics and things like that. But I think, selling undefined risk premium in kind of the main stocks is perfectly fine. But I like the butterflies because I think the payoff is a little bit more favorable, but I totally respect. For those of you that say, hey, I'm not going to mess with it because I don't think it's worth it. I don't think there's an edge there. I don't think that this is going to have a positive effect on my P&L. Man, I totally respect you. And I absolutely 100% see where you're coming from. And I probably should be doing some of that myself here on the show. But I'm just not. And so PharmD Eric, I appreciate you. I still appreciate you very much. Robert C is in the house. Good morning, Dr. Jim. We appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Man, I appreciate you appreciating me. Did you hear about the asymmetrical iron condor? Can you give an example? Did I hear about it? I know what it is. I mean, an asymmetrical iron condor would essentially be like if I went into Netflix, let's say. I'm just going to pick it because it's on the screen. I'd like to get to at least one or two more questions. If you wanted to do something that was like symmetrical, you might go to the expected move and you might sell like a 500, 490 on the put side. And then you do like a, let's see here. And then you do. Oh, they're trying. Oh, look at John and the crew sending me pronunciations live on the show. I still don't think I could do it, but let me try. Hold on. They just chatted me the, how to say this, the form. So first of all, the definition, let me take the low hanging fruit, the formation of a word from a sound associated with what it is. Oh, got it. I'm not going to be able to say it. I'm going to try again here in a second, but okay. So you have spoo. And you have S&Ps, right? Got it. Okay, now this makes sense. You don't have anything from the NASDAQ. You just have the Qs, right? You have NASDAQ and Qs. It's like, is that an onomatopoeia? Like, I don't know. Onomatopoeia. I got it. It's an onomatopoeia. Come on. This is easy stuff. It's onomatopoeia. Got it. Nailed it. Man, just absolutely crushing this show. And it's almost over, so it's good that we finally figured it out 42 minutes ago. But thank you, John and James and the crew back there and Paul. Appreciate you guys very much for helping me out. Let me get back to this this Netflix that may not be an onomatopoeia, but hopefully it can be helpful nonetheless. So if I do a $10 wide iron condor, You can see right here, this is fairly symmetric, right? I mean, in fact, it's almost perfectly symmetric. The delta is zero. If I wanted to be asymmetric, I would just move one of the sides to create an asymmetry. So one of the ways you could do that, there's a number of different ways that you could do this there, Robert C. So, I mean, I'll give you one example. If I pull the calls in to like a 580, 590, you see now I'm bringing in a little bit of negative delta because the call side is closer. Right. So that makes sense. But I'm, you know, increasing the credit that I've collected on the strategy for doing this. And so this is one way to look at it. This is one way to do it. But yes, asymmetrical iron condors, it's just an unbalanced iron condor to where you kind of introduce a directional bias into a strategy that would otherwise be neutral. So let me try to get to one more. Man, I appreciate you guys so much. Michelle, here we go. Michelle says, Dr. Jim, thank you for yesterday. You did say NVIDIA is guaranteed to go down after your trade. I did. And look at that. It went down. So how about that? You guys are welcome. So I bought a one day 530, 560, 590 put butterfly, sold it this morning for a $10 win. Oh, you're talking about Netflix. You're not talking about NVIDIA because NVIDIA is $800 or whatever. You're talking about Netflix. And so you are welcome. You are welcome, my friend. You are welcome there, Michelle. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm only one man with a, you know, 4-year-old trading intern and trading assistant, but we're doing what we can. And so you are very welcome there, Michelle. Thank you so much for being here. But guys, I got to run. I got to get you guys to Jamal. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for tuning in today live or watching in the archives or whatever. I just appreciate you guys so much. If I can help you guys in any way, please reach out to me. You can email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com, or we can connect on Twitter X. I am @jschultzf3, and I would love to hear from you guys on there as well. But stay tuned because we've got Jamal coming up next with engineering the trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, train them heavy, and stay generous. See you guys on Monday.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.